Good morning, Praise Center. It's so good to be back with you all. Pastor Agus, thank you so much for the opportunity to share the word with you all this morning. Lillian, hi. Edwin, Ruth, Grace, and Becca, and of course the grandkids. Hi from the Philippines. Ida says hello. And praying that we can all travel again so that we can see each other face to face and enjoy fellowship. I do miss church. We all miss church. We all miss the physical meetings. I do miss the worship of hundreds of people coming together. I do miss the handshakes, the high fives, the hugs, and of course the wearing of the mask and the shield. You know, I can't stand wearing the mask. I can't breathe when you go out on public when you actually wear the mask, and it's required. You can't actually go anywhere without the mask and the shield. But I'm grateful that we can still do this, we can still preach the gospel, that we can actually make use of technology to be able to share the love of God. And so this morning I do have a word for us, and I pray that God would use this time to minister His love, His hope to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time today. I thank you that you've been faithful, you protected us. But Lord, I pray today that you would encourage those that need encouragement. I pray that you would instill hope to those that need hope. I pray that you would infuse faith for those that need faith. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us today in a new way, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, Happy New Year. Happy 2021. Happy. What's so happy about 2021? People has basically written off 2020 and basically said that what's there to look forward to in the year 2021. People are wary. People are really apprehensive. People are skeptical when it comes to the new year. Let me just say this, that what has happened in 2020 will definitely roll into the year 2021. And I'm not trying to dampen your faith. I'm not trying to discourage you. I am just trying to tell you reality. But in the midst of all of this, God is still able to work in our lives, even if there are negativity all around us. And I pray that we would see God even in the details, the small details of everything that has happened. God moved in 2020. It was unique. It was different. It was challenging. But God was there. But as we enter into the year 2021, I do believe that God has not left. God is with us. God will continue to minister to us. God will continue to fulfill His purpose, even if we don't see it. Okay? Even if we don't see evidences of God moving, but He's still there. So much has happened in the year 2020. It's kind of like a burrito, you know, when all the beef and all the chicken, rice, you know, everything has happened stuffed into one. It's kind of like a burrito. And so people have actually told me that 2020 was kind of like a VUCA year. And what's VUCA? V stands for volatile. And the U stands for uncertain. And C stands for complex. And A stands for ambiguity. And so the year 2020 is all of that. And maybe some of you are looking at me and telling me, maybe that is my relationship as well. That describes my relationship. So whatever situation that you find yourself in, God is able to use this backdrop to actually show forth His power and His love and His provision. And we're going to look at the scripture this morning and really find encouragement from a prince. His name is Jonathan, whose father was King Saul. And we're going to look at Jonathan and his armor bearer and how they responded to a VUCA situation that they found themselves in. Now, God has given us choices in life. In fact, God has given us this ability to make decisions, you know, so that we can make our life better, so that we can do things on our own free will. That's the gift that God has given each one of us. The shirt that I wore is a choice that I made. The drink when you go into Starbucks, the drink that you order is a matter of choice. It's a gift that God has given us. But there are choices that are trivial, but there are also choices that are critical. Now, what I'd like to do today is not to predict events or not to be prophetic in a sense that when is Jesus coming? You know, a lot of people, there's a lot of questioning right now. When is Jesus coming? Maybe it's the end of the world. Maybe the one world government is coming. I'm not going to do that. But instead, I'd like to present to us critical choices that we need entering into the year 2021. And a lot of people are wary and really skeptical about the year 2021, and rightly so, because of what happened in 2020, and things hasn't ended for us, and we don't know when this quarantine and this pandemic will end. And we all know about a new strain that's coming up right now, and people are really fearful when it comes to a new strain, when it comes to a new disease. So when is this going to end? And I don't know when this will end, but I do know this. We cannot control the circumstances that surrounds us, but we can actually control what's inside of us. We can actually make choices that's inside of us that can actually change us. And so what I want to do is to present to us critical choices from the life of Jonathan and his armor bearer. Abraham Lincoln said this, the best way to predict the future is to create it. But how do we create it? I believe that the choices that we make today create the future for ourselves and for our family. So the question is, what are the choices that we need to make? What are critical choices that we need to make in order for us to see God move, in order for us to see changes happen in our lives? And so we're going to look at the scripture today in 1 Samuel 14, verses 1 to 15. I'd like to read this and follow along with me as we read the scripture. And I'm going to make a few comments and see what the Lord will do. And I pray that God would minister to us this morning. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the path that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozes and the other Sene. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash and the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on, then. We will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. The panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Now, just to give you a little background of this story, the people of God, they were led by the king by the name of Saul, and we all know that. And Saul, he was fighting against the Philistines, and they were ready for battle. But the thing was this, the Philistines outnumbered the Israelites. The Philistines had thousands of chariots and charioteers, and the Bible describes them as numerous as the sands in the seashore. There was so much, and they had everything on their advantage. And the people of God, they were undermanned. They were fearful. Saul was so afraid that he was actually hiding in a cave. What we just read, that he was in a pomegranate tree, but some translation says that it was actually a cave. But he was hiding in fear, and his great men, or military men and religious men, they were all with him in that cave, including his son Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they were such in a disadvantage, and they did not know what to do. Saul was paralyzed in fear. He was not making any decision. He probably thought, if I did something, I could probably die. I could risk the lives of the men around me. So he was so fearful. He was stuck. He was paralyzed. How many here ever felt paralyzed? Anybody ever felt fearful? And you felt like you couldn't do anything, you couldn't make any decision. And Saul was in this place. But something happened to Jonathan, his son. Jonathan, I don't know what he ate that night, but something was stirring inside of him. And he wanted something different. He was probably sick and tired of the situation, waking up every morning with the same situation. And so in verse number one, we'll read that. One day Jonathan said to Saul, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. You see, it was that day that something changed inside of him. And I pray that could be prophetic for some of us, that this today could be your day, a day where you felt that I had to do something, enough is enough. And so Jonathan invited his armor bearer and invited him to go over to the Philistine outpost. Now, that was a wild idea. That was something crazy. But the armor bearer never complained. He actually probably was sick and tired of his situation. And so they did something crazy. They did something so stupid. And by the way, I'm not promoting recklessness. I'm not talking about a physical enemy that we need to go fight. I'm not talking about, okay, we're to hell with all these restrictions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more of the condition of our hearts. But in this story, he was so sick of his situation. He was so sick of the fear that he saw all around him. And yet he made a choice. What was his choice? And this choice is number one. He made a choice to see a new possibility for the future. In other words, he had to choose a future with new possibilities. Now, how could you choose a future with new possibilities? Well, one, you have to see it yourself first. Now, in order for Jonathan to invite his armor bearer to go with him, he had to see it first. He had to see a possibility. Everybody around him said, oh, we're going to die. Oh, this is dead end for us. Oh, we're dead meat. We're just going to die. And so, but with Jonathan, he saw a possibility. He saw a different future. He saw a different possibility. He saw that, what if we could win? What if we win? What if we make it? So he saw something different. I heard somebody say before, there's a difference between tomorrow and the future. Did you know that you can actually wake up to tomorrow with the same circumstance? But you can actually wake up to a new future. You can actually step into a new future. Saul and his men actually woke up to the same circumstance day after day. Saul continued to cause agony in his army by not making a decision. And he was in this place, basically doing nothing, stuck in the moment. But Jonathan saw a possibility and said, nope, I am waking up to a new possibility. I am waking up to a new future. And so that's what happened to him. He actually saw a possibility. Now, what are some of the possibilities that we can have for this time that we are experiencing? Well, the past 10 months, actually, to downplay the things that has happened, because people suffered the year 2020. People lost loved ones, people lost jobs, relationships really were in a critical state. But there are some people that actually saw 2020 as a year of breakthrough for them. I know of a particular businessman who saw the opportunity for him to create jobs for people. So he bought one sewing machine to basically employ some people that he knew that lost their jobs. And so he bought a sewing machine and called his friends and said, "Would you like us to make curtains for you?" And so orders came left and right. It was still manageable until it came to a place where people were just ordering left and right. So he had to buy not two, not three, not four, but he bought 7 sewing machines and employed a number of people right now to do that work. And he said that he's making so much money in the midst of this quarantine and pandemic. And I was talking to one of our pastors, and he said that the church has been in existence for the last 25 years, but somehow the year 2020 has been a breakthrough year in terms of finances of the church. The biggest offerings we ever received was in the year 2020. Now, it's not just an isolated story, because there are more. For time's sake, I can't tell you all of the stories that people tell me. In the midst of all of this negativity, they found breakthrough. They found God's provision. Now, if you are here today, you're looking at me and saying, maybe that's for them, but not for me. But let me challenge you by saying this. If God can do that for them, God can do that for you as well. It takes a choice to see a possibility out there. And it starts with vision. It starts with us seeing something. And so Jonathan saw something. Many times we are trying so hard to go back to what we knew instead of preparing for what is new. People say, let's go back. We're longing to go back to the old normal. We're not going back to the old normal, but we are instead going into a better normal. We're coming into a new season, to a new move of God. And so we're just discovering just how we can do things for God in a new way. Churches are growing. There are also churches that are dwindling, and people are finding out how to do. Everybody has a process with the Lord. But all I can say is this, that Jonathan and his armor bearer actually saw a possibility. Do you see a possibility? It takes a choice. Isaiah 43 says in verses 18 and 19, a very familiar verse, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Now Isaiah, if you know the context of this, it was in the midst of captivity. It was a VUCA moment for Isaiah. And yet God was giving them a vision of a new future. God was giving them new possibilities for the future. So in the midst of this wilderness, in the midst of this wasteland, God is saying, I'm making something new. I'm creating something. He saw a possibility. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer made this choice. He said, we're going up. We're not going to stay here. I'm not going to be stuck in the moment. I'm not going to wallow in self-pity and unbelief, but I'm going to get up. And he did not tell his father. And we all know the reason. His father just basically was a heavy-handed leader. He was a fearful leader. He wanted everybody to stay in this place of familiarity. And yet he stepped out of that and said, I am going to do something different. And so he stepped out. So when he stepped out, he went on each side of the pass. In verse 4, that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozes and the other Seneh. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, to the other south toward Jeba. That's the train passing, and I'd like to apologize for that train. But anyway, the train passed and the preaching goes on. So basically, they were to go to the Philistine garrison, to be able to go there and actually fight them, they had to pass through sharp rocks. He had to go through that. And many times, when we decide to actually do what God has called us to do, or we feel that this is what God has called us to do, sometimes we feel like we make a first step, but why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Jonathan and his armor bearer, there's so much interpretation, but I believe that when we make decisions, sometimes it's not paved with provision. Sometimes it's not paved with the easy path to the will of God, to the purpose of God. And many times we find a narrow place. With Jonathan and his armor bearer, it was sharp rocks. They had to go through that in order to find the purpose of God. So if you're here today and you make the choice, I'm going after everything that God has for me, let me warn you and tell you, expect some difficulty. But that is part of the package, because you see, God wants to mold our faith and God wants to really to strengthen us in order for us to trust Him. So Jonathan in verse 6, so Jonathan is a young armor bearer. Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. So he tells his armor bearer, invites him again, and then he says this, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. I love that phrase. He said, perhaps the Lord. Some translation says, maybe the Lord. He wasn't even sure if it was God. Well, he wasn't doubting the ability of God. He was actually doubting whether what he was going to do was God or not. But he had to find out. How many know sometimes we tend to wait too long for God to move, when God Himself is actually waiting on us to move? I'm a proponent when it comes to teaching on the waiting on the Lord. I believe in waiting on the Lord. I believe in you need to ask God for confirmation. You need to have a clear vision from God before you move. But there are moments in our lives that God waits on us. And so in this particular time, he wasn't sure. There was just the conviction in his heart that I just can't stand this place of fear anymore. And he had to make that. He had to get up and he said, perhaps maybe the Lord will act on our behalf. And he had this conviction. He said, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. He just knew that God is able to do it, but he wasn't sure. And so to be sure, this is what he did. Oh, by the way, in verse 7, I love how the armor bearer responded. He said this, do all that you have in your mind. His armor bearer said, go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul. I just love the support of this armor bearer. I just love the enthusiasm, the optimism of the armor bearer. And many times we need people around us that will support our craziness sometimes. And so the armor bearer said, and Jonathan had this bright idea. He tells his armor bearer, he said, come now. Let us cross over toward them and let them see us. Now, when I was reading that sounds like a stupid idea. But he said, let's show ourselves. Now, if they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But, he said this, but if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So just watch this scenario. Watch this idea. He says, if they tell us, wait there, and we will come to us, then that will be our sign that this is not the Lord. But if they say and invite us, come to us, that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So that's what they did in verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. He said, hey, here we are. We're here. And the Philistines said this, the Hebrews are calling out of the host they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. That was like a ting. That was like a green light for Jonathan. So he looked at his armor bearer and said, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. So at this particular time, he knew for sure that it was God. You know, how many times we wish that God can show us step one, step two, step three, and step four? How many know sometimes we want God to show everything to us. And then that's the only time we move. But you know what? God doesn't work that way. God sometimes tests our faith to make that first step. Jonathan made that first step. He had to find out whether God was just you. So when he made that first step, he took the risk and showed himself. And he said that if they invite us, then that was the Lord. And they actually did it, and it was a green light. You see, God many times waits for us. What is God telling you right now? Maybe for some, it's start a new business. Maybe for some, it's start a small group. Maybe for some of you, is to go to a nation. Maybe for some of you, you know, start a new company. I don't know what it is, but if you're waiting on God and God has already spoken clearly to you, maybe it's your turn to make that choice. Maybe it's your turn for you to move and start taking that step. So he made that first choice. The second choice was this. Now, let me give you a background before I give you the second choice that Jonathan made. Now, when they started this war, they were outnumbered. Like I told you earlier, in 1 Samuel 13:5, it describes there that the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Haven. So they were outnumbered. There were thousands and thousands of Philistines that you could not count. And Israel, on the other hand, there were just a handful of people. There were, if I'm not mistaken, there were probably about only 600 of them. And they were all quaking in fear. To make matters worse, they did not even have weapons. It was only Saul and Jonathan that had a sword. The Israelites had to go to Philistine territory to sharpen their swords and their spears. As a result of this, because of them going to Philistine territory to sharpen their sword, they ended up joining the Philistine army. Some of the people of God hid in caves and in holes out of fear. Can you imagine a whole army in fear? So they were in this place of disadvantage. They saw their limitations, but Jonathan and his armor bearer, they didn't care about their limitations. They had to make a choice, and this second choice is this. They had to make a choice to accept their limitations. Now, for us, we need to choose to accept our limitations. We all have our own limitations. And if you don't see that, I mean, look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, we all have our limitations. And that's part of life. That's part of the way God designed everything so that we can trust Him. You see, there's always going to be somebody stronger. There's always going to be somebody bigger. There's always going to be somebody smarter, faster, more good looking, more eloquent, richer. Accept it. God places us in this earth with such limitation in us. You see, our limitations serve as a catalyst to experience a limitless God. So for Jonathan and his armor bearer to experience the limitless power of God, they had to accept their limitation. It did not hinder them. No weapons, outnumbered, they had all the negatives, and yet they believed God because they believed that God is a limitless God. So they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice to accept their own limitations. I do have limitations. We all have limitations right now. We can't go out. We can't go to the mall. We can't even bring our grandparents out. We can't even bring the little ones into business establishment. There's so much limitation, and people are going crazy because of all these limitations. But there are people that sees the limitation and begin to trust God in the midst of all this limitation, because God is a limitless God. So what are some of the creative ways that God is telling you to do right now? Accept your limitations. You do have limits, but these limits should be the very fire that makes us trust the limitless power of God. And so that brings me to my third decision, my third choice for us as we enter 2021. You notice that Jonathan invites his armor bearer four times. He invites him in verse 1. He said, come, let's go over. Number 2, in verse 6, he said, come, let's go over once again. And then in verse 8, he says, come on, let's just do this. And then in verse 12, he says, climb after me. So this Jonathan, he had this vision, and he invites his armor bearer to join this endeavor, this task, this purpose, this destiny that was set by the Lord. And so he just went, and the armor bearer just, I don't know if he blindly just followed Jonathan. I do believe that the armor bearer probably saw the relationship of God and Jonathan, and he followed Jonathan. And the Bible tells us in verse 13, Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, listen to this. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Now, how did they do that? Remember, they just had one sword. It was just Jonathan. And the role of the armor bearer was just to carry the sword. He wasn't skilled in fighting with a sword. So I don't know how they killed some 20 men. I'm just imagining sometimes, did they pass the sword to each other? Did they, here, it's your turn, you can, and then pass the sword back to Jonathan? Killed 20 men in about half an acre. How did they do that? All I can say is this. The armor bearer before this encounter was just a plain armor bearer. But after this encounter, he was not just an armor bearer, but he became a warrior. You see, if you remain in your current location, spiritually speaking, if you remain in this state of fear, you actually never change. And so, because they decided to get up and move forward, he changed. Jonathan changed. The armor bearer changed. There was something that happened because of the choices that they made. And so there was such an uproar, and there was such a victory that Saul and his army actually found out what was happening, and they had to investigate what was happening. And he sent a military officer to check out what was happening, and they found out that Jonathan wasn't in the camp with them. And they started to see that the Philistines were actually fighting each other, and there was confusion in the enemy's camp. And as a result of this encounter, people or Israelites that were part of the Philistine army started to join the Saul and his army, and those Israelites that were hiding in caves and holes started to rally behind the people of God, all because of a choice. And the third choice that Jonathan had to make was this. He had to choose to instill hope and value to his armor bearer. But to us, we need to choose to instill hope in people. There are many people today that are depressed. There are many people today locked in and paralyzed in fear. And they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And sometimes we feel like, how do I find purpose? Did you know many times that you find purpose by helping other people find purpose? I'm reminded of a story of, as I end this, I'm reminded of a company who had a team building for its employees. So they hired a facilitator to come in and facilitate this team building thing. And so there were 40 participants, 40 employees that came into this team building event. And they were all brought into this one room. When they got into this room, there was a big box full of unblown balloons. And so the team leader basically gave them this instruction. He said, why don't you get one balloon and blow up the balloon? And it was all the same color. It was the green colored balloon. I don't know if you guys heard this story before. But they all blew up this balloon, and they were instructed to write their names on the balloon. And after writing their names on that balloon, they were told to tie it, and they were told to leave it on the floor. And so they all did that, but there was a catch. If one of you burst a balloon, they were automatically disqualified. So there were only 32 that actually made it. 8 of them actually blew up their balloons, and they were out. So they started, 32 balloons were now on the floor with the same color, and they were asked to get out of the room again to prepare for the second round. Now, the facilitator, what he did was he added hundreds of green balloons in the same room. And so he added all these balloons along with the 32 balloons of the employees. So he instructed the employees to enter again and gave them this instruction. By the way, the train again is passing. You know, prophetically, you know, there are many interruptions, many noises, but you just have to move on. You have to just go on with whatever God has called you to do. Anyway, so the second round, they were all in this room again, and the facilitator told them, I want you all to look for your own balloons. And he gave them a time. He gave them 15 minutes. And guess what? 15 minutes of looking for their balloons, none of them found their balloons. 15 minutes. They couldn't find their balloons. And time's up. He said, time's up. Okay, stop looking for your balloons. And then he said, he gave them a new instruction. He said this. Okay, the next round, I want you to do this. I want you to look for any balloon with a name on it. Okay? And what you're supposed to do is look for that person that owns the balloon and give that balloon to them. So he gave them this instruction and timed them again. And guess what? He timed them. Everybody started to look for balloons with a name, any name, not their own name, but with a name on it. And they started looking for the owners of that balloon. And they started giving the balloons to their rightful owner. And so when they started giving it, he timed it in 2 minutes. Everybody found their balloons in 2 minutes. And so the team leader made this conclusion. He said this, that we are much more efficient when we are willing to share with each other. But my own conclusion when I was reading this story is this: we find purpose when we learn to help others find theirs. We actually find purpose when we learn to add value to people, and we actually learn to instill hope in people. We find hope as well. And so may this 2021 be the best year ever. But let me warn you again, if we're thinking of changing, you know, our circumstance, you might be disappointed. But if you make choices internally, let me tell you, things might begin to change for you. And we might even say circumstances change. But you see, God is more concerned in changing us more than changing so much of our circumstance. I'm not saying that God cannot change our circumstance, but God is in the business of changing lives, and he wants to change us. And so, ending the story, you know, so all these people, you know, started following, you know, Jonathan and his armor bearer. Saul and his army joined in the battle, and they actually won a great victory. But people that were in fear, people that were hiding, they all joined in. And God backed them up in verse 15. He said this, then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. God began to back up the PPS people, and it all started with a choice. Let me encourage us today. Maybe you're here today and you haven't made a choice. Jonathan and his armor bearer chose to trust God. Maybe some of you here, you haven't crossed the line of believing him. And maybe you're saying, I want to know this God. I want to know Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me, who took the risk to die on the cross for me. And so if you are here today and you haven't really discovered who Jesus is, you can pray this simple prayer. And you can say, it's a simple prayer, it's the beginning of a conversation, and it's definitely something that you can start with. You can just say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. That Jesus, touch my life. You can just say those simple prayers, and I believe that God hears your prayers. And so let's pray right now. Father, I pray today for people that that want to know you even more. And so if you're here with me, just pray this out loud and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, touch me. And if you pray that prayer, I ask the Father that He would come and really open up our eyes so that we may see Him in a new way. I also pray, Father God, for those that are stuck in the moment, those that are stuck in the present circumstance and fear. I pray, God, that we would make a choice to see a future with new possibilities. Father God, Lord, open our eyes, Lord God, to see things, oh God. Just as what Isaiah said, oh God, you're doing a new thing. I pray that you'd open our eyes. Lord, I pray today that we would choose to accept our limitations and not stress about it. Lord, we accept our limitations, oh God. We accept the limitations that we see all around us. But Lord, it is also an opportunity for us, the limitless power of God. And so also thirdly, Lord God, we choose to instill hope in the people around us. Lord, that we would invite them to this adventure, Lord God, to know you. So Father God, thank you for Praise Center. Lord, I pray your blessing upon Agus and the church. For the Lord says, my son, Agus and Lillian, it's a new day for you. You cried out for me. You cried out for more of me. And the Lord says, I'm going to begin to give you secrets, my son. I'm going to show you things in the spirit that when you begin to trust me in the small things, in the steps that I will call you to do, you're going to begin to see things change even in your own church, says the Lord. You're going to begin to see changes. You're going to begin to see miracles in the year 2021. I'm going to cause even your people to venture into new areas. And I want you to know, says the Lord, there's going to be new areas that you're going to venture into, says the Lord. It will not just be just Melbourne. But know this, my son, there's going to be places in Australia that you're going to touch, says the Lord. There's going to be people from your group, from your clan, from your church that will move. I see movements. I see movement in the north and the south. And there's going to be a clamor for you to be able to disciple and help them. But I want you to know, says the Lord, yes, it's going to stretch you a bit. But I want you to know, says the Lord, that you're going to be one who's going to influence the region and not just one locality, says the Lord. And there's going to be a new apostolic fervor and spirit that's going to come upon the Praise Center. And I want you to know, Edwin and Ruth, I'm raising you up in this hour, says the Lord. And know this, Edwin, my son, I've anointed your tongue. I've anointed you to speak my word, says the Lord. If you looked at yourself and said, yes, Ruth is called, but you are called as well, says the Lord. I'm going to prosper you even more and more in this hour, says the Lord. There's going to be some adjustments, says the Lord. There's going to be new opportunities that's going to come your way in the year 2021. There's going to be a knock on your door, Edwin. And I want you to know, says the Lord, do not be afraid to take on new adventures, to take on new ventures, because I will bless you, says the Lord. And Ruth, says the Lord, there's a prophetic unction upon you. They're very apostolic, you're very strategic, but there's a side of you that's longing to come forth, and that is the prophetic side of you. And notice, Ruth, I'm going to use you, says the Lord. You're going to be invited to speak in women's conferences, and many times you're going to look at yourself and say, God, I didn't ask for this. And that's the beauty of all of this, says the Lord. You never asked for all of this, but it is I who ask you. Serve my body, says the Lord, because I'm going to use you in ways that you cannot imagine. And my hand is upon you, Grace. There's a greater sensitivity that I'm giving you today. And the Lord says, I'm going to wake you even in the middle of the night. I'm going to give you dreams and visions even more and more. And know this, my daughter, my hand is upon you. And I don't know your boyfriend. I don't know him, but I don't know his name. I see him on pictures, but the hand of the Lord is upon him as well. And I'm going to surprise your boyfriend. I'm going to surprise him with things. There's going to be some changes. It's going to be a shock to him, the year 2021, but it's actually going to be a promotion that's coming upon him. And Becca, there's a new song. There's worship upon you. But there's going to be a newness, a new freshness that's coming upon you, Becca. And the last year has been interesting for you. and there are questions that you've asked the Lord, but I want you to know that, Becca, I've heard your prayers, and I want you to know that it's going to be different for you. The best years is coming for you, says the Lord. But Lord, thank you, God, for Praise Center, for what you're going to do in and through their life. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you, and I hope that this message has helped you, encouraged you, inspired you. Amen.